Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
What was that all about? Oh, and now it's recording? Oh, for fuck. Hi, welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. I'm one of your hosts, Clinton. You can find me on Instagram at ClintySkyGuy.
And I'm a little teapot.
Short and stout.
Yes.
Where's your spout? No. No, it came out before I could stop it. No.
Stop. Up my butthole.
Anyway, yes.
I'm Lyndon.
Are you now?
Yes. Cool. And I'm back on Instagram. We're back on the social medias.
Have you missed it?
Kind of?
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it up next year.
Are you not?
Next year, I think for Lent, I was really shit with Lent this year. I did like the bare minimum.
Oh, what, you just gave up Instagram and that was it?
Instagram, but I allotted myself 10 minutes every day.
Oh, that's not even giving up.
It's fasting.
No, it's not.
It is fasting.
No, it's giving up.
Oh, fuck you, heathen.
That's not, no.
You don't get to judge me.
Yes, I do. I'm
with your raping and your pillaging and your murderous ways.
Oh, yeah, because the Christians have a completely white history of... Actually, it is very white, but, you know, anyway, that's not the point. Or maybe that is the point. Sorry, shall I stop? Christian! Anyway, and, like, Catholic.
No comment.
Which is worse. You fucking glare at me, you bitch! Very dare you.
Whatever. Trevor. Whatever, Trevor.
Whatever, you owe me nothing.
It's fine. Owe you nothing.
You owe me nothing.
What were we saying? I'm back on Instagram!
Do you know what I want to know? I want to know something.
Mm.
How do we actually manage to record anything coherent? Oh, we don't, do we? Really?
Pain.
Do you just pick up a cup of tea with anything other than the handle?
Yeah.
That I've just boiled the kettle for and then wonder why it hurt your hand?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
How do we survive?
Who needs fingerprints, right?
How do we have jobs?
Don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
Just lucky, I guess. And today we're talking about... Oh.
Food. Kind of is.
It is about food. Yeah, it's food. We're talking about like
holy communion,
sacred feasts.
Yeah, sacred feasts, holy communion.
That shit and all that fucking narcissistic rubbish.
But first,
do you have a magical moment?
Yes.
You do.
I do.
You do.
I do.
Oh.
I do.
Go on then.
Sorry, I just tweaked my nipples in front of the thing.
And you tell me you don't have Tourette's?
I don't. Mostly. mine's easy.
Christ is risen! Oh, for fuck's sake. That is not a magical moment. And she did something about it. Did you rise with him? Did you dust off his filthy footprints?
I haven't risen with him. Alas, I am still dead. But...
At least you got your fetid corpse to the fucking gym this morning.
I did. Mostly.
What dropped off on the way?
I don't know. A few gubbins fell out.
A few gubbins fell out. I lost a kidney. Yeah.
My lower colon.
Oh no, you won't keep that. That's the fun bit.
Anyway,
go on.
Yeah. Here's risen! So, we've had Easter. Which is great.
So convincing.
End of.
That's not end of. What did you
end
do?
End of. My mum was confirmed into the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
One of us.
Boo.
One of us. So,
boo
which is lovely, lovely, lovely.
No, I'm really happy for her. Just in case she listens to this, because I know occasionally. I am actually really happy for her.
So I've done my job now. I've secured another member of the church. So now the burden falls onto her to bring someone in, I guess. That's not how it works. But
no, I know that's not how it works, but still, you know.
So I haven't done anything. You've loved it to work.
But you've secured your front line seat.
The front row seat of the afterlife.
Yes,
honey. So, but we had Easter. So we had the lovely Maundy Thursday service, which was good. I missed Good Friday, which really bad. I couldn't be bothered to go.
Oh my God, couldn't be bothered to fast from Instagram and couldn't be bothered to go. So I just see a cheap shot and I have to take it.
Thanks. Thanks.
Grimace at me.
I had worked a full day on my feet and I was knackered.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought of having to then go straight from work, straight to church for an hour-long service. Actually, it's about an hour and a half, because on Good Friday, I want to go next year because it's a really spooky service. It's great, because that's when... So the bells ring out for the last time on Thursday, and the hymns are sung for the last time on Thursday. So there's no hymns, there's no bells, there's no Eucharist, there's no holy water. The entire presence of the Lord has been removed from the building. So it's a very solemn service. And then they bring out some poor soul has to carry the cross through the church. And then they stand it up on the altar, and then everybody gets to kiss the cross, kneel at the feet and kiss the cross. It's lovely. But in a church full of like 200, 300, however many people it can hold, and it's full and there's extra people, waiting for everyone single file to kiss the cross takes an age. It takes forever. So, and you've got a normal service on top.
Oh, okay.
So you're there for an hour and a half. So that's... So
it's ritual drama, isn't it?
Yeah. So I finish around 6. I'd get there for about 6:30. Mass starts at 7. So then that's 8:30. So then I won't get home until about 9:00, at which point I then got to think about eating, going to bed to then get up the next day for work. I'll do it next year. But next year I'll miss Maundy Thursday and I'll do the Friday instead. And I'll do Easter Sunday. So
can't you take it off as a religious observance?
You what?
Can't you take it off as a religious observance?
Possibly. Actually, no. Next year we have Good Friday off. We've secured it.
Have you?
Finn, yeah, so we've got Good Friday off, which is great.
Oh, that's cool.
We didn't this year.
So you won't miss any of it?
I won't miss any of it. But yeah, so I missed Good Friday, which was a shame. But it's a very magical time. And then we had Easter Vigil last night. My mum got confirmed. Very, very spiritual, very lovely. I carried her through it.
I've seen that. I was at
not
yours.
Not that she particularly needed me. It was one of those, she was very nervous. So I had to kind of prompt her for things. But like when it came down to actually doing stuff, she just did it. So she didn't need me. I was kind of just a...
You were there as a safety blanket, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the magical stuff there. I saw the bishop get out of his wand. That needs context.
No, it doesn't.
No?
No. People are going to think it anyway.
Yeah.
Let them.
No, he inscribed the big sacramental candle. With his
silver, I love that bit.
With his silver wand.
Yes.
Which isn't actually a wand, but it is a wand.
Yes, it is.
We know it's a wand.
It's a wand.
Yeah. and then we all carried the torches in.
I need to remember to put that in my
to
book.
To the church. I'll ask Father Daniel about it. I'll get you more information on it.
Yes, do.
Yes. Do
get
me more information. Yes. So then we all go outside, they light a bonfire, they bless the Easter fire, we then light candles from the Easter fire and bring the light back into the church, at which point all the lights go on, we sing loads of hymns, we sing loads of songs, and then people get baptised, people get confirmed, it's beautiful, lovely, lovely, lovely ceremony, and you can feel the power of Jesus, honey. Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay, and I got that from the blank expression across your face. But no, so that was my magical moment. I got to observe Christ. He is risen.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, and then I got to watch my mum. I mean, my mum was confirmed Church of England, but obviously.
But now she's come back to the one true faith.
The one true faith.
Yes, yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yes. So, but I got to witness my mum receive. Holy Communion for the first time, so she got to eat the flesh and drink the blood.
Oh, a swig and a nibble.
Yeah, bit lovely. Of ritualistic cannibalism. Delicious.
Which is exactly what we're going to be talking about today.
So I got to watch Muma engage in that. What's your magical moment, you slut?
I love the fact that you got to watch your mum enjoy some ritualised cannibalism.
Divine flesh and blood.
Mm. I just love it. Absolutely love it. Such is life. Or death. Or both.
Siempre viva.
Siempre viva. Live forever. So I wish, do you know, sometimes I wish we videoed these. One, for context.
Well, yeah.
And two, because just queen of strike a pose over
Thank
here.
You.
You're amazing.
Although it's not quite the same, because unlike that film, I eat the flesh and drink the blood, and yet I still get to watch myself rot.
Yeah, but money is an option. Is a question, rather. Sorry.
True.
Yeah.
But it changes depending on the person. In my case,
it doesn't mean it's less. It doesn't mean it's less or more. It just means it's the same amount of what you have, which is nearly all of it.
I have nothing.
Exactly. So they'll get nothing and they'll give it you anyway. Oh, go for it. Do it.
Oh, I'll do it.
Do it.
I'll do it.
Do it.
She gets my soul anyway.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
Anyway, what's your magical moment?
I got to admit, I don't really have much of a magical moment. I fucked off to Wales for like 5 days.
Okay.
I've missed Ostara. I didn't miss Ostara, to be fair.
Did you go to a fairy mound and fap yourself into oblivion? Gesture was inappropriate.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was too perfect. Yeah. It's absolutely perfect.
You know, we could never not be friends, right? Because it's just.
So, in short, yes.
Pure buckets of cum. Dear. And so, you're right, dear. You okay?
Yeah.
Do you need the sleeve?
No. Okay? No, not your sleeves.
Oh, don't be dirty. Do you only wipe my bum on them once? Leave me alone. I'm not going to go into the details of why I went to Wales, but I went to Wales, and it was really, really good. I went to see a friend of mine. I went to stay with him and his mum, because I'd not seen him for a while, and it was absolutely wonderful. We went out for dinner, and that was kind of my thing, actually. I took them out for dinner at a Chinese. I tried to take them out for dinner at a Chinese. Trying to get them to let you pay for anything is a nightmare.
Did the people at the Chinese restaurant speak Welsh?
Of course they did.
But they're Welsh Chinese people.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Like, why? My brain... No, because, like, my brain just can't... I know there's a difference between language and accent and where someone's, like, genetics come from, but the thought of seeing, like, an East Asian person speaking like that, like...
Yeah. Just...
I'd have to see it.
Okay. Anyway. So, we went for Chinese, and then we went for a drive, and we stopped at... this absolutely fucking amazing beach and looked out upon the water crashing over under a full moon on Ostara night.
Oh, nice.
And I kind of took a moment to just kind of stop.
So Ostara didn't pass you by?
It didn't completely pass me by. I didn't do the whole... The thing is, I think people, especially pagans, I think, and in some respect Christians, miss the point... when they think the only way to acknowledge the passing of something is to go and do the big ritual thing in the big ritual place with all the big ritual tools and the big ritual people.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the whole point is to just stop, listen, acknowledge, take note and keep going. That's really all you're doing, is you're reminding yourself of the reason for it.
So I saw the last light of Ostara on that day at about 11:50.
Nice.
Of course, the last light of that day would be the moon. So I saw the last light of Ostara. And, you know, and I watched it over the waves whilst my friend and his mum were talking to me. I have to admit, they're probably going to, if they listen to this, they'll be a bit, might be a bit upset. I did kind of retrack and figure out what they were talking about, but I did kind of lose track of the conversation because I was just like disappeared into a world of my own for a little bit. That's right, yeah. But to be fair, they should know me better by now, and I kind of do that anyway. But yeah, so I did that. And that was nice. And then, yeah, spent the rest of the weekend getting drunk with them and going to the beach every other day. Every single day, actually. And going for long walks and appreciating the countryside around Tenby and Pembrokeshire. And
nice.
Absolutely bloody stunning.
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 Do you know what it'd be like? It'd be like going to Jamaica and seeing a Caucasian person.
Are you still stuck on the language?
I'm stuck on this, yeah.
You're still stuck.
It'd be like seeing a Caucasian person in Jamaica speaking at you with a Jamaican accent. It's there, it's real, it happens, but yeah, it'd be weird. You just wouldn't expect it.
No.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
I can set that down now.
You can put that down. Can you drop that now? Stop twitching. It's okay. It's not, yeah. Anyway. Moving on, food!
Food!
Food! Food, glorious food. Do. Transubstantiation. That's what it is. Transubstantiation.
Well, it is.
What the fuck is that?
It is for me.
Yeah, so I'm opening with that. What is. So, important difference between shit you do and shit we do is the word transubstantiation. Well, I say we as in me, because I can't talk for all people of pagandom.
No, you can't.
Because I would also not describe myself as a pagan in pagan circles. I would say I'm a druid, so it's very different. But, yes. So, I'm a cunt. Lovely. Well, you are what you are. I nearly said you are what you eat, but I've never eaten one of those in my life. So, stop it! What's with you today?
My brain just went ham and eggs. I'm so sorry.
Did it say it in a Welsh accent?
No. Ham and eggs. That's not Welsh accent.
Can you?
Although, this is...
Tangent. We're not transubstantiation. Come back. Reel him in.
Yeah.
Come back. What is a mass?
Transubstantiation.
What happens? What do you do? What's the point?
Okay.
Why the fuck? Why is it weird?
So, it's not weird. So, transubstantiation is the... Okay, so when the host... And this obviously differs depending on denomination. we'll go into that in a minute. So, for Catholics... Transubstantiation is the act of turning wafers and effectively like sherry wine kind of thing. It's like port almost. I've got it on my phone, but it's really sweet to taste.
You spilled it on your phone?
I did. Cock.
It's right, Beam. Anyway.
It's not.
Do you know, I love saying that to a Catholic. I fucking love it, because every single one of you do exactly what you're doing now. They go, it's not! And then they go to prove it to me. I fucking know it's not. It's sherry wine. Yeah. It's a fucking, what's it called? It's a fortified wine that they dilute.
So the one they have is, so they buy...
Which, funny enough, is pretty much just like Ribena. It's fortified and you dilute it. It's just not alcohol.
So, so it's called Santifex Fig of the Vine... medium is the one they use, 15% volume. But yeah, anyway.
I don't care.
I know you don't care.
I'd just drink it and be like, oh, that's nice.
So it's the transubstantiation is the act of turning wafers and or bread and wine into the blood of Christ. So right. It is when we are at the Mass, and this is the whole point of the Mass, is it's to... you get a reading, as you did. The reading part of Mass is a follow-on from when Jews would go to synagogue and you'd get a reading of the Torah. So you get Old Testament readings and then you get a New Testament reading. So it's an acknowledgement of the past, and then we look at what Jesus left behind and the New Testament and the guiding principles and the parables and the lessons that we need to acknowledge. And then we head into the meal part of the Mass.
The meal. Yes.
So what we do is...
nom nom.
The altar is viewed as it's the altar of sacrifice. It is the table where the Last Supper is shared, which is why we always bow to it out of reverence and respect.
It's acknowledging a moment, isn't it?
Yeah, you're acknowledging the fact that Christ has been sacrificed on that table.
Yeah, yeah. Effectively. Because that was the moment that he sacrificed himself to the cause, didn't he?
Yeah, so what happens is the rite of transubstantiation takes place where we take the bread and we take the wine, and there's like a blend between what Jesus did moving us forward. Again, it's kind of similar with the reading. So you take the old... Passover meal celebration. Yeah. So you would you have the bread and you have the meal and you say the prayer over it, which is something along the lines of blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth food of the earth, something like that. So it's to kind of acknowledge that part, but then we move into what Christ did. So then there's the reading of, you know, he took in his most venerable hands the bread and broke it and said, this is my body that shall be shed out for you, blah, 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 eat this and blah, blah. And then the wine, this is the blood of the new and eternal covenant that shall be poured out for you and the forgiveness of sins, drink this in memory of me. And then there are some more prayers. And through all of that, because the priest is in persona Christi, we view it at that moment that Christ is at that altar breaking the bread and sharing out the wine, and we are the disciples partaking in that.
Mm-hmm.
So then through that act and through the priest being persona Christi, that wine then becomes divine flesh and divine blood, and the wafer becomes divine flesh. That's the transmutation part, is on a molecular level, it becomes something other. And there have been recorded documentation of wafers bleeding. And I think they tested one a few years ago, and the blood that they tested from it was actual blood, and it was alive as well. It was living blood.
Oh, right.
Really, really freaky and really, really weird, which is cool. You don't have to, so they refer to them as species, you don't have to have both species, you can just have one. One is both, but I think me and your husband are kind of on par in this, that Jesus didn't say, we'll just have one and that'll do. It's
Oh, yeah, both. Yeah, you've got to have both.
Yeah.
He said both, so you tell
me. I like to have both. the Orthodox Church, while they... Catholics like to try and explain transubstantiation. They like to really kind of go into it and try and explain it, which... I don't think people should really try and explain miracles.
So did you say that the bread and the wine becomes the body and the blood?
Yeah, it's physically. Not. It isn't, yeah, physically. It is that. It isn't until it's gone through that rite. So,
yeah.
if it's just bought from a shop, I've seen people that have been like, oh, I bought it from the shop, so, you know, I consume every week. Well, you haven't. You've just bought wafers. They're not... It's not the host.
Yeah, no, it's just a wafer.
It hasn't gone through that rite, therefore it is just, you know. So, whereas anything that has is then sacred and should be consumed. You shouldn't perform the rite on bread and then let the bread go stale. That would be effectively sacrilegious, because you're allowing sacred flesh to spoil.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? So, yeah, so in that moment it becomes flesh and blood. The Orthodox Church, they also see the rite of transubstantiation, but they're not interested in the why. It just is. They just do it. It is.
Who's that? The
Orthodox Church.
The Orthodox, yes. Yeah,
they're not concerned with the why. They don't care about the why.
No.
Stand on their side in that regard. It is what it is. I don't need to explain it. I don't need to think about it. It's God doing what God does, and that doesn't require my understanding.
I don't think there's enough conversation about Orthodox versus Orthoprax in any religious setting, to be fair, because I think
you know, the very notion that the words are used to describe a group means that, you know, you should understand why.
Yeah.
And I don't think we understand it enough, especially not in the West, especially not in the UK.
Yeah.
We don't get it.
Mm.
Really don't get. We just think orthodox. Okay, different. Weird, different. They do it different. They don't really. They do the same things.
They do and they don't. The Orthodox Church is different from the Catholic Church. But that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, anyway, no, like, we're talking about food.
But then the difference between what we do and what Protestants do, like the Church of England, for example, they go through the same rite, but they have no belief in it actually being a living sacrament. So it's not the flesh and blood. They're literally doing it in memory of Christ.
So there's a word for that, and that's consubstantiation.
Okay.
It's just here.
Oh, look at you.
Because whilst you're talking, I've been taking notes.
Yes, you have.
So in contrast, consubstantiation is used by Protestants to describe the belief that the bread and wine are not changed in substance, but that the power of Christ is present in the elements.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Which kind of tracks with a lot of pagan thought, but carry on.
So it's not as... Not to say it's not important, it is important, but when you talk to Protestants about going and receiving Holy Communion, it's something that's like, it's nice. It's nice. But they don't really give a fuck if they do it or not. Whereas for us, being present in that moment in time, because we view it as, Father Mark explained it to me when I was going through, like, Catholic training school, that in that moment in time, it's like, well, we're being transported back in time. We are present. You are present at the Last Supper. You are there, and that's it. The person who stands before you breaking bread is Christ. It's a sacred thing to be part of. Whereas for Protestants, not so much. It's a nice thing to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to be part of it? But if you miss it, it's fine. It's just bread and wine. That's been blessed.
Yeah, I get that.
So it's... And that's the main reason why we go to church. We go to attend the Supper of the Lamb. We go to be part of that. And the nice thing with what we do versus what pagans do is it's the opposite way around. So you guys tend to... Or at least, I mean, I speak from experience when I was pagan. I gave offerings to my gods.
Mm-hmm.
This is Christ offering himself up to us.
Yeah.
So it's the other way around. So rather than a God consuming the nourishment from an offering that I'm giving in order for boons, God is sacrificing himself for my sake, which is just great.
I think it depends.
And delicious.
Yeah, I think it depends entirely upon the practice, really. I think you have the luxury there of being part of a single-minded entity in the Catholic Church. And in pagan circles, that's just not a luxury that exists. It just does not exist.
No. Even so, within covens and seed groups and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like groves, it's not a luxury you have, because everybody has their... Because it's... an orthopraxic religion, very orthopraxic, and I suppose Catholicism is, but it's the theory behind it that makes it what it is. Whereas, you know, it's not built upon your practice, and it doesn't differ from person to person because your practice is dictated by the church that you go to.
Yeah, so, I could quite easily go to a Catholic church in another country and follow it. I may not know the language, but I know the bits that are coming. Yeah.
Which means the whole basis of your religion is not based on your personal practice. It's based on, you know, the effectively it's still orthodoxic.
Yeah.
It's just called the Orthodox.
The Supper of the Lamb is the Supper of the Lamb.
It doesn't matter where you go or what you're doing.
The only things that do change is, so there are, there's four formulas for transubstantiation. Some priests prefer... version 1, some people for version 2. I think Father Mark likes version 2. I think version 2 is quicker, it's shorter, it's more condensed. Father Daniel likes version 1. Version 1 is strung out.
Neither of those two facts really surprises me.
Mm.
In any way, shape, or form.
But yeah, so there's different versions that you can do, but each one is one of the, yeah, they're all valid. Another little interesting thing as well is when you receive, you hold out your hands cupped, left hand over right hand, palms out, and they'll say Body of Christ, or like if they hand you the chalice, they'll say Blood of Christ, and you say Amen. That is the primary reason why if you're a Protestant and you go to a Catholic church, you cannot receive communion and vice versa, because of the word Amen, which is basically so it is, or I agree. Because if you go to a Protestant, if I went to a Protestant church and they were like, Body of Christ, even though I know that they don't believe that's the Body of Christ, I can't then sit there and say, yes, it is, because they don't believe that. So I can't receive an empty host under the guise of them being like, it's this, when I know it isn't. Versus, what do you keep looking at? What do you keep looking at? Your eyes keep flicking up here. Is there like bugs?
You've got a fluffy ear and it keeps highlighting in the light.
Oh, what I hear. Yeah, my little fluff.
That's all it is. Your little fluff.
My little fluff.
Your little fluff. Sorry.
Versus, again, if a Protestant came to a Catholic church and we're holding up the Holy Sacrament and we're saying, this is the Body of Christ. This is the Body of Christ.
You go, oh, fuck yeah!
They can't then go, Amen, because they don't believe it. It's a lie. And you can't engage in a Holy Sacrament if you're lying.
Oh, it's very confusing. It's very confusing.
It's not really. Either you're in the club or you're not.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Oh, I had this conversation with Wayne. Anyway, nom. So, yeah. So, I think if I was to use it for pagan circles, I would say it was consubstantiation.
Mm.
But then, is it? Because if you are to take, for example, the wheat to make the loaf to make the bread... the wheat to make the flour to make the loaf that was the bread for your sacrificial meal at Lunasa, you would be presenting the sacrificed body of the god of harvest.
John Barleycorn.
Good old John Barleycorn. Mm. But you would be effectively offering up his body as the sacrificial meal. Because that would be it. So that would be transubstantiation. However, the idea would be... So the praxis is almost transubstantiation, but the idea behind it is more... I'm going to have to keep looking at it every time I say it, because I can't say it without looking at it. Consubstantiation, because the belief is not necessarily that the god has died to become part of that, but that an aspect of the god is the aspect of sacrifice, that he lives beyond that sacrifice, but that, you know... his spirit is present in the thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah? Even...
So it doesn't then become physically... But then I think that then is the difference between what we have and what you have.
Well, but because... you mentioned him dying. Like, we don't... Jesus didn't... I mean, even around this time...
Well, no, this is like, what... So this like, is
he died, this, but he didn't die.
Yeah, so this is where I'm going to get a wee bit difficult. No, not difficult. Just something that is very, very different is that... Your God had a human counterpart, a human bit.
Yeah.
Ours don't.
No.
Weren't, didn't, haven't.
No.
Neither did any of them, not that I know of, not that I have ever met, but there might be for specific people in the pagan world that I just don't know, have sacrificed their human selves in an act of consummation to then better the others around them. It's a completely unique set of circumstances, as far as I'm aware. You know, other than gods like Dionysus, who was killed and then fed to his father, but that's not the same either. You know, there's other situations where gods were killed and then eaten, but that's not the same as a god being born, living as a man, becoming...
Yeah.
You know, an adult and then sacrificing himself for the. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same story and all the rest of it.
So, I do have to talk about
it. Might be similarities quickly, but...
for just.
Yes!
Because, well, I saw that post, didn't I, earlier?
I was going to say, is that incensed
really irritated me incensed about death being a co-companion to Jesus and Jesus using death as a vehicle to achieve what he had to achieve. The misconception there, and that the post that I saw...
Fuel, darling.
Thank you. The post I saw, it It seems to forget that Christ is God.
Yeah.
And Christ doesn't need a vehicle to do what he needs. The whole point was that... So when... And I touched on this. I think I touched on this in the last episode. I could be wrong. But when we were in... When it was just Adam and Eve and Steve. And... and we were in the garden and life was merry. When all the focus was on God and they were obedient and they kept their focus on God, that was fine because God is life. The second they turned their face from God and chose otherwise, they turned their face away from life. And that turning away created a void that allowed death to creep in. That's what made death, death. Was the fact that we looked away from the source of life. And if you look away from the source of life, something else has to come. So that's where death came in. So to rectify that, Jesus, as a human being, had to experience death in some kind, but you can't kill God. So yes, the physical body of Jesus died. And then what you have is you have this thing where death tries to enshroud Christ, but death can't kill God. So... that's the whole shattering and defeating of death.
Yeah.
It tried to cover him. It failed. So when we as Christians, and...
it really is.
A lot of Christians get this wrong.
Described as a victory over death, isn't it?
A lot of Christians get this wrong because Christians seem to constantly forget that Christians don't die, technically. Ever living, honey.
Do that again.
Ever living, honey. He says as his fingers drop off. But like, so technically speaking, we don't die. So yes, my physical body may die.
Like a lich.
I am. My phylactery. So through Christ and through baptism, through baptism, you die and rise again with Christ anyway. That's how it's viewed. And at that moment, you are ever living. So yes, my physical body may die, which is why it's a terrible thing for a Christian to, when they get themselves cremated and they're like, scatter me on a beach. You should be scattered on holy ground, ideally. Because if we're looking at the future, the Revelation, the book of Revelation, where Jesus will come again and we will all rise, you should be on holy ground, ideally. Mm-hmm. But it's that in that moment, that's a unity of soul in heaven, reuniting with body on earth, and becoming one person.
But does this tie back to the Mass, to the Eucharist? So,
not really.
Is that...
But you were talking about John Barleycorn dying.
Mm, yeah.
Christ didn't die.
Yeah.
His physical body did, but then he rose again.
What I'm saying is, what's quite special about your circumstance is that what your transubstantiation... It's because I've got buttons in my mouth.
Is that what it is?
Chocolate buttons. I don't sit here chewing plastic buttons while I'm recording.
He eats everything.
Shut up.
That was a bit pointed.
Ow! Shut your horror mouth. I love you said ow. Nobody could see what I just did. So that's the unique quality. So when we bake the bread... it's consubstantiation because we still have the God.
Yeah.
The God's still there. Not that yours isn't. Just that the God never dies. Mm. It's just that the physical representation. So I don't know. Maybe it is transubstantiation.
Well, it's not.
Maybe the transubstantiation happens. No, wait. Let me get there. Okay, I'll let you get there. Shut your whore mouth. maybe the transubstantiation happens long before it's turned into bread, because the transubstantiation happens at the point that the God is in the harvest, is the harvest, is every part of the harvest, is the tools of the harvest, is the thing that's being harvested, and that when you cut the corn, you're sacrificing, you know, the God of the harvest. And then when you don't look at me blankly like that, and then when you grind it up, turn it into flour, and then you make the flour into the loaf, the spirit and that essence continues into the thing that you then make the flour into. So the bread then is still transubstantiated, or is it not?
Can I speak now?
Yeah, if you
thank
like.
You. So it's
I
not.
Think you've spoken in.
It's not. It's not transubstantiation because
I think the ceremony is probably the bit that makes it transubstantiation.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Oh, you think it's
Can
just...
I just... Let me just explain.
If you give me the word Jesus, I'm going to throw these buttons at you.
Because Jesus! So, the reason I'm saying it's not is because if we're looking at this from a John Barleycorn perspective, right? And we're saying that...
That's the only perspective at the moment, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, if we're saying that John Barleycorn... Because it depends on the God and depends on the ritual.
It does, but yeah.
If we're saying that John Barleycorn, right, is the fruit of the harvest, is the grain, is all this, then technically speaking, those bits are already part of him. So at no point is there any kind of transubstantiation because it's already
him, isn't it?
So you're just baking bread out of bits of God. There's no transubstantiation.
So it's still consubstantiation, isn't it?
It houses the essence of that God.
That's so it's still just a belief that whereas the essence the difference exists is, within the
is
thing.
That we have to, though the wafer or the bread and the wine is just bread and wine.
Physically transform.
Until it goes through that rite. So
and there's no rite to transform. Yeah, in pagan rituals, there's no rite to transform what you are creating into the physical remains. Mm. That's the important thing. That's that, I think. Physical remains. That's the point, isn't it? Is that, I mean, a bit visceral, but still. The body and the blood. They are the physical remains of the God that you worship, you know. And that's what you are cannibalizing.
Yeah.
And becoming full of Jesus with.
Jesus, yeah. Because it's the... So it harkens back to the Passover feast, which was when the Jews left, in theory, Egypt. Because it's, you know, the actual historical account of it is a bit dubious at best.
Mm-hmm.
But when they left, so they had to, and it goes back to as well the last plague, so the death of the firstborn, where they had to kill a male lamb, consume it,
yeah, they
and
did,
share,
and
it was blood. It was the beginning of the Passover meal. So
yeah,
so you would consume it, and if there were more people, if there was more meat than there were people in your house, you would invite your neighbours. And you would get as many people needed to consume the animal.
And as well, like,
and then you would mark the lintels of your door to show signs of where you are. So Jesus becomes the new sacrificial lamb, and that's why we consume him.
Just another change. So sacrificial or like sacred feasts. So that's the mass. And like I think we don't really have a pagan version of that, personally. Just don't think we do, because transubstantiation is the thing that is the key element of that, and you know, it's that physical remains bit that we just don't have a version of. Not that we fucking need one, but it just is what it is. However, the other thing we have is sacred feasts and shared feasts. Like it's every fucking 6 weeks. It's fucking mind numbing. I can't fucking keep up. I hate it. It does my head in. I can't do all eight. I can't ever. I never manage it. It's just the hardest thing about my religion is trying to remember to do all fucking eight observances in the year. And I should celebrate it, but sometimes it just gets on my fucking
tits.
Yeah,
but the wheel of the year is bullshit anyway. The
wheel of the year is, but
cross
even,
quarters
like, the cross,
are fine.
The what do you mean the cross quarters?
So the...
You mean the actual...
Solstices and the
equinoxes. The solstices and the equinoxes, yeah. They're those ones I find the most important. Those ones are the ones I don't miss.
Because the rest is... It's specific harvest festivals and sowing festivals based on agriculture, depending on where you are in the country.
Yeah, ish. Because even the guy who put it together was like... It's only been around since, what, the 60s
or something?
It
was cobbled together from, like...
It was cobbled together from some dude who then...
From Ireland.
Yeah, who at the time, by the way, at the time that did this, used the word Mabon, which really, really sets me off. Because at the same time that they used these Welsh words, Welsh was being bullied out of children in schools in Wales. It just fucks me off. Incredibly.
Good Catholicness.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes me sick that you can bully children in one part of the world and then use their language to spread makeup bullshit. Anyway, not the point. So, sacred feasts.
Buttons.
You can nibble my buttons all you like, my darling. Oh, nibble them harder. It's lovely. Don't do that tongue thing. Don't, no. Stop. Because that's the one you did earlier. It was just fucking hilarious. Do that tongue thing. Sacred feasts. One thing I did want to talk about was, like, we invite our gods to our feasts. They're invited, they take part, they have a place at the table. The only Christian, or even Christian adjacent, even if it's that, it's really not, it's Jewish, thing that I can think of that kind of goes along those sorts of lines is Passover, where you have a table place setting set aside for Moses. And that's the only thing I can think of. I think it's Moses.
Well, okay, so...
It might be Moses, it might not be Moses. But, like, that's the only thing I can
think
of. Yes
and no. So, yes, technically we should bless every meal we have.
Oh, yeah, but that, like, meal blessings, that goes without saying.
And you can always argue that Christ did say, whenever there is two or more of you, I will be there.
That's cheating.
It's not cheating.
That's cheating.
It's not cheating.
That's cheating.
We don't have to invite our God.
That's cheating.
Two or more of us, he's there.
Yeah, but you're the only Catholic in this house now. And we're eating buttons. Is he here?
No.
Well then.
Have you invited your God here?
He's over there.
No, that's a lamp.
I hit you with this book. It's the lamp on my shrine, you cunt. Yeah, I don't know.
But then,
is there a specific ritual setting? Is what I'm getting at. Like, so the Mass is a ritual setting.
Well, I could give you the gooey answer and say he's always with me.
No, don't give me the gooey answer. Give me the actual answer.
That is the actual answer. Oh, Christ is always with me.
Christ is risen.
He's risen.
Yeah, but there isn't a meal.
No.
No. I think that's the thing. There you go. End of my TED talk.
There you go.
There you go.
Talk about the red meal or the fairy meal.
Or the red meal, the fairy meal,
or the male meal, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Although that's pretty straightforward, but that's so the specifics of that kind of fit around almost like what I was going to mention earlier, which was the Dumb Supper, Victorian times.
Mm.
It's all built around the same sort of thing. All of it, like the sacrificial meals that we do now in pagan practice, the red meal or fairy feast or whatever. And all this sort of stuff is built around this idea that you create a meal. Now, you've got the idea that the gods are inherently part of the food that you're creating. So you've got the gods of field and flesh and all the rest of it. So at Samhain, for example, you have your final sacrifice, which is where you sacrifice the animals to get you through the year, the ones that you can't afford to feed. So you keep the young, you sacrifice the old. Or you sacrifice the young males because you already have a breeding pair, that you sacrifice them so that the breeding pair will survive through the winter, blah, 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 all this shit. And you you then dedicate those sacrifices to the gods. So that's when you have your feast. So the gods are invited to the feast because the feast is also a sacrifice to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference, isn't it? Because... like, you guys haven't... you don't sacrifice to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That stopped with the Jews.
Yes.
Didn't it? That stayed with them. Whereas we didn't stop doing that, you know, since the Romans and since all the rest of it, and in Druidry and all the rest of it, sacrifice has always been a part of that. And sacrificing to the land has been massively important. So you give back to secure that link between you and the other world. And I think that's the thing, that rather than inviting the other world into yourself by imbibing something that has been transubstantiated into something divine, you merely open the gateway and invite the other world to join you and share space with you. And that's it. So, like in a Dumb Supper, much in like a fairy feast, you would set out a meal for the spiritual participants of that meal. You would have the meal. There might be a time of silence. There'll be a time of invocation. There might be a time of prayer or celebration. But you plan out the meal almost like a celebration, almost like, you know, like you would expect a sacred feast. You'd have party time, or you'd have a time of reverence, or you'd have a prayer time, or whatever. And then the offerings would go out to the gods, to the spirits, in the wilderness, in the wild. So you'd dump it at a crossroads, or around the corner, back alley, or whatever.
Back alley.
Back alley, whatever. I grew up in a house with a back alley. It was the scariest shit. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. So it reminds me of the feasts of Dionysus, because that's also thought of with regards to the fact that he was killed by Titans in one of his myths,
and fed to his father. So that's reenacted. But it's not in a way to then transubstantiate the substance of the meal into his flesh. It's literally just a ritualized drama meal.
Mm.
It's not quite the same.
No.
Because it's also believed that he's a god of the harvest, so he exists in the wine anyway, regardless. And what you're doing is you're acknowledging his sacrifice, because his sacrifice wasn't done to better humanity or anything like that. He was killed, he was murdered, and then, burnt as an offering to the gods.
Hmm. So. When I was into my witchy phase, I used to take lamb hearts and vegetables into the woods, and I would bless them and leave them there to nourish the land.
Mm. There's a very meaty tree there.
There is.
That ate it all up.
Like the tree out of Sleepy Hollow.
Except it's not. Oh, the one that's got
heads in, except it's filled with hearts.
Yeah, it's got it's where, who's his face? What was his name?
The Hessian.
The Hessian, that's it. The
Gateway to Hell.
Yeah. I love that film.
It's a good film.
It's a really good film. Yeah. I don't have a lot more to say about meals.
Okay.
Because I don't do them very often, to be fair.
Maybe you should.
My favourite one is Samhain, because you get to invite your past relatives and, the spirits of the dead and the gods to share a meal with you. And I've had some cracking experiences at those.
Mm.
Even if it's just the fact that after trying to have a meal for an hour in complete silence, you crack at just the slightest glance at somebody else at the table. And it was always Jodie that would get me. And she'd just look at me and I'd go...
and turn into Yoda.
Turn into Yoda, yeah. And have to stifle a laugh. Oh, it was so hard. Or someone would break, but they'd break because they'd just get up really... they'd get up really, really slowly. They'd step out of the room. You'd hear them go upstairs. You'd hear them hear the bathroom door shut, and then you'd hear... as they fall to absolute pieces and start pissing themselves upstairs in the bathroom, but they've taken themselves out of the situation. And then the rest of you downstairs have to stay silent whilst you're hearing this person losing their shit upstairs. It's a great thing. If you ever get the chance to do a dumb supper, do it. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, even if it's just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Trying to get somebody to pass the salt when you can't hear or speak or do anything.
Just have to gesticulate.
Just have to gesticulate a lot. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. But that's nice, actually, because you make the spirits welcome by making yourself the same as they are.
Because
they can't speak, they can't communicate, they can't do anything. They're just invited to sit and be with you. And you're there to sit and be with them. And the only thing that you can share is the meal.
Nice.
And the thing that brings you together is that food. And I always thought that that was kind of the thing that crosses the divide between you and the divine.
Yeah.
Is that it's the food that does it.
I suppose we could kind of do it with saints, but I've never really thought about inviting a saint to tea.
You can have saint meals, though. They do have, dishes.
Yeah.
What's his name? It's a honey and almond cake. Francis. Which I made for Wayne one year, and it was absolutely amazing. Apparently better cold.
It's got
fucking shitloads of butter in it, that's why.
Yeah, I suppose I could do that. I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
But everyone should go do one. Go have a meal.
Yeah, definitely. Go eat.
Go eat.
She ate.
Eat.
Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Eat. Yeah. No. Really, really good. Oh, yeah. Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah.
Casting a spell while eating cherries.
Yes.
No. There's so much
can be... Don't let it get to you.
Oh, my God. Have another cherry. There's so much can be done with food.
Yeah.
So we've talked about that, actually. There is so much more you can do with food.
The best curse I've ever heard was my friend Jade had a guy she wanted to get rid of, so she carved his name into steak, ate it so she could shit him out and flush him down the toilet later.
Yeah, brilliant. World's your oyster.
Yeah.
That's it. You want to get rid of your ex? Food.
Food.
Poison them.
Yeah.
Person. Person?
Person.
Person.
Poison person.
Poison person. Person poison. Poison person.
Shall we end it?
No, it's poison person. I think so. I think we've come to the end, haven't we?
Lose your mind completely.
Oh, it's already gone. You can find us on
Instagram, Shepherd of Your Arwen, or on there, yeah, on just podcast providers. Just we're on pretty much all of them, I think. And that's about it, really.
That's about it.
You can Google us, we turn up.
Yeah, there you go.
We do turn up. We do turn up. And yeah, no, that's that. So thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.